Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 91 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And today we're talking about her facials. Yeah, before I get into that episode, just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review us because I love to read these. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Raise your hand if you've ever had a facial. Just as I thought. Well, you know, all kinds of wild things are going on with facials out there, like real quick facials, like remember Dry Bar? Now they've got Dry Face, I guess. People are whizzing in and out of these things. Half the people out there have no idea what's going on with home facials versus, you know, high-level facials with experts. Good grief, it's a real problem. So we have our go-to dermatologist, Dr. Jessica Wu. She's a cosmetic dermatologist in Los Angeles, California, where she has practiced for over 20 years, a graduate of Harvard Medical School, an assistant clinical professor of dermatology at the USC School of Medicine. She also, in addition to her private practice, she frequently lectures everywhere about, well, what can I say? Your skin, everything your skin, A to Z. Her book, which I just live with, is Feed Your Face, Younger, Smoother Skin, and a Beautiful Body in 28 Delicious Days. And by the way, she has a phenomenal line of moisturizers, eye creams. It goes on and on. So to learn more about that, please go to Dr. Jessica Wu. That's WU.com. Dr. Wu, Jessica, welcome back to the Her Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Pam. Happy to be back.
All right. So facials. Oh, my goodness gracious. This whole thing with facials is getting more and more interesting. So I shared with you a New York Times article, and the title was quite provocative. Is a facial worth the fuss? So the answer is it?
Well, that is an excellent question and a very common question and something that my patients ask me almost every day. I get that question. And the answer is, it depends on you and your skin. Some of my patients do get monthly, some even get weekly facials, especially if they are actors or models out here in Los Angeles and they need to be in front of the camera and their skin needs to be in tip-top shape. But I will say that it all depends on the type of skin you have. And I tell my patients that facials can be helpful in two specific skin situations. And those are if you have acne, if you have a lot of what we call congestion, which is clogged pores and bumpiness and blackheads and whiteheads, then an experienced facialist can really help to extract or remove the clogging safely, more safely than most of us can do on our own at home. And they can help keep your skin clean and clear that way and help to clear up that type of acne. The other situation where a facial can be helpful is if you have very dry or sun-damaged skin, where you have flakiness, or say you're healing from a sunburn this time of year. A lot of my patients are coming back from vacation or spending time outdoors, and their skin is really battered by the sun. And so if a very experienced facialist can do a deep hydrating treatment that can make your skin softer, smoother, more glowy looking temporarily. But I also tell my patients that don't expect a facial on its own to lift sagging skin. Because if it were as simple as a facial, then we dermatologists and plastic surgeons would all be out of business. So a bottom line is that while it can help improve the appearance of your skin temporarily, it won't lift sagging skin or treat more deep-seated problems.
Wow. Okay. Well, so how often, you know, one of our team members here at HER said, "Oh my gosh, we're going to talk to Dr. Wu again about facials. Can you ask her this question, this burning question?" And that is, how often should a facial also include a peel?
Well, that would depend on your skin as well. For example, if you have sun damage, if you have fine lines, or if you have acne, adult acne, a peel about once every 4 to 6 weeks could be very useful to help exfoliate the dead skin and to unclog the pores, help to loosen the sun-damaged skin so that your new skin cells can come to the surface more easily. Remember, it takes about 28 days, so about 1 month, for your skin cells to completely turn over and for the new cells to reach the surface of the skin. So that's why we recommend about once a month for the typical intervals in between facials. If you have the time and the budget for it, as I said, a lot of my patients just have that as part of their routine. They budget for it, they budget time, they budget their finances so that they can do that once a month. If it's not in your time or financial budget, then and you're looking at an upcoming event, a wedding or a graduation or reunion, then try to schedule your facial about 4 to 7 days prior to a party or big event. That's to get the biggest bang for your buck, because you don't want to schedule a facial the day before in case you're a little red or in case you have some little marks or a little dry from a peel, nor do you want to try a new facialist right before an important event. Because as with a hairstylist or makeup artist, you don't want any surprises for that big day. So plan ahead, do your research, maybe do one or two trial facials, and then book your final facial a few days before the big event.
Okay, I think those are excellent, excellent points. I'm sitting there as you're going down this list. I'm going busted. You know, new facialist. Oh my God, I look like I was totally red. You know, for a very important event. It was like, you know, let's never do that again, Pam. You know, seriously. So, all right, what actually should take place? What's the choreography, as it were, of a really good facial? What happens? You first get in there, and what's the very first thing that the facialist does all the way through?
Well, a good facialist will spend some time with you, talking to you about your skin, asking you about your skin's history. Has it broken out from facials before? Does it break out when you try new products? Do you have facial rashes like eczema or rosacea? Do you have acne breakouts? So she'll get a history similar to what I do when patients walk into my office. A good facialist should ask you about your skin's history and about what products you're currently using, so she can put together a new routine for you. And then he or she will examine your skin. Usually they'll look at your skin through a magnifying glass or goggles, and then from there they will recommend a procedure depending on what you need, whether your issue is dryness or anti-aging or acne or sun damage. In general, there are certain steps that are included in many facials. So oftentimes they'll start with a deep cleansing to remove makeup and dirt and oil, sunscreen pollution. Those of us who live in cities, there's increasing research showing the pollution lands on our skin and produces these compounds called free radicals that attack the collagen and elastic tissue in our skin. So I'm telling patients now increasingly it's really important to get a deep cleansing. And sometimes it's hard for us to do that on our own, or we don't have time because it's the end of the day, we're taking care of our families, and it's 10 o'clock by the time we go to the bathroom and wash our faces. So these monthly deep cleansing facials can really help to get into the pores and remove all of that accumulated oil and especially sunscreen this time of year. The next step is often steaming. So what you'll do is you'll lie down and you'll hopefully be in very experienced pampering hands, and they'll have you close your eyes and put a headband on you. And then they put this device over your face that several inches above your face that blows a mist, usually a warm or sometimes a hot steam mist over your skin, and that helps to soften the top layers of dead skin to make it easier to do any extractions or any other treatments that they may be doing. One thing I warn my patients is that when you are getting this steaming step, if it feels too hot, or in fact, if at any step something just doesn't feel right, if it feels uncomfortable, if you feel like, you know, this is just too hot, ask the facialist to please turn down the heat, because they can often turn down the temperature of the steam. And this is important if you have redness, if you have rosacea, if you have little broken capillary veins on your skin. Heat, especially very, very hot steam, could make the broken capillaries look worse. So have them turn down the temperature. And then after that, it depends on what your skin needs. If you have acne, they may perform what's called extractions, which is basically a fancy word for popping pimples and clogged pores. Some facialists will use fingers and a tissue, Kleenex or cotton. Others use a type of metal instrument that's called a comedone extractor, which, if used correctly, it can remove blackheads and whiteheads more precisely than the fingers. But it can also cause more trauma to the skin, leading to bleeding and scabs. So when I do extractions on my patients, I make sure that the instruments are sterile, and all the instruments are sterilized between patients. And then I only extract what looks like it's ready to be extracted. And that judgment comes from experience. So with any procedure, don't be shy about asking your facialist, how long have you been doing this and how often do you do this? And then other treatments will depend on the type of concern that you have. For example, if you are interested in anti-aging, they might do one of the newest treatments out there, something called microneedling, where they use what looks like a teeny tiny, almost looks like a rolling pin or lawnmower that is lined with very fine hair-like needles, and they roll it across your face. Sounds terrible, doesn't it, rolling needles across your face? But
yeah, I'm just having a real nice visual right about now.
A rolling pin with needles. And these little tiny, they're almost like acupuncture needles. They're very, very fine. They pierce the skin. And the idea is that by piercing the skin, number one, it produces a micro trauma to the skin that helps to stimulate your skin's collagen-making cells to produce more collagen. Number two, producing these tiny little holes in your skin allows any antioxidants or vitamins or growth factors to penetrate the skin, also to stimulate more collagen as well. And sometimes, sometimes the microneedling is combined with growth factors or your own blood even. And that's something that various people have termed the vampire treatment.
Oh, lovely. Well, you're in LA, so everything goes there. I mean, what can I say?
Well, that's the vampire thing. Good or bad. that's good or bad. Sometimes, yes, we do offer the newest treatments before some other parts of the country, but just because I tell my patients, just because something's new doesn't mean it's better or that it's even good for you. Sometimes what's new can be harmful. So we all always have to be careful and adjust the treatment to the person's type of skin. And the last thing, since you asked about peels, one of my favorite treatments is facial peels. And so a trained facialist could recommend different peels depending on your skin type. The lighter peels, like your glycolic peel or lactic acid peel. Glycolic are the food acid peels. Lactic acid is a different type of alpha hydroxy acid, and these types of lighter peels can help to remove the top layers of skin, helps with sun damage, could help with fine lines, and then some of the deeper peels like salicylic acid gets into the pores for acne. So there's a whole array of treatments that a facialist can recommend and put together.
And my facialists wish to heck it was at your place, but we have a small problem called 3,000 miles between us. My facialist also does my neck, my the upper chest, my top of the shoulders, including that, and even the peel itself, so that I really get kind of a comprehensive treatment in addition to just my face alone, which I know that you're probably doing as well, which I really like.
I think that's an excellent point, and something that sometimes I have to remind patients that you should take care of your skin. Don't stop your skincare at the neck, because you want to make sure that your neck, your what we call the décolleté, your chest area, your arms, all of the skin is taken care of, both for health reasons as well as for aesthetic reasons. And this time of year, more people are showing more skin. Our chests, our arms are on display because we're wearing skimpier clothes in this heat. And so you don't want to forget to take care of any sun damage you might have on your chest or any acne you have on your back. So yes, absolutely. Remember the rest of your skin as well. Don't just focus on the face.
I think that that's wonderful. And many times also the facialist, while the mask is, cooking, as we say in the business, doing its thing, they'll oftentimes massage your hands, which is kind of nice. It feels really good. So there you have that. Well, that's good. Now, so many women out there know about the popular blow-dry bars, Dry Bar and some of the other brands that are popping up everywhere nationally, where you can sort of get in there real quickly and they'll blow-dry your hair and kind of quaff it out for you real quickly. So you're in, you're out, and let's just get the show on the road. And this is great for after workouts or, after work and you really want to get a major fluff up before you go to a big event that evening or something. And they're quite convenient for a lot of people. Of course, they're also quite controversial too, because really at the end of the day, the dry bar is only as good as the quality of the people working there. Okay. That being said, what do you think of the facial bars that are, poking up here, there, and everywhere? In that New York Times article, they mentioned, a couple of them. There's one called Heyday, that's Heydaway, and that's a mini chain that's adopted the dry bar business model of providing one service of, whatever they do, which is the facial, and they use multiple brands, and apparently there's no big hard sell or anything. It's just sort of there. But, the real question is, when you blow in and blow out of those places, it's not the consistent facialist, right? In your opinion, are these going to end up, A, becoming a real trend here? Like, is this a big deal? And B, are there any, pros and cons here we need to really keep in mind?
I don't think that facial bars will become as popular as blow-dry bars, and that's because everyone's skin is different. So it's hard to recommend any cookie-cutter treatment that's one-size-fits-all. I think that for certain people who have fundamentally good skin, or maybe they might have a little congestion from acne, or their skin's a little dry, then absolutely you can go in there, get your 15- or 20-minute appointment, get a mini facial quite affordably, and your skin will temporarily look clearer or plumper. I think if your skin is fundamentally good, not sensitive, not really broken out, don't have a lot of sun damage, don't have rosacea, I think a quickie treatment at a facial bar could be just what you needed to look a little better for an event or just for that week or the next few days. But I think it's hard to get personalized treatment and establish a relationship with a facialist who knows you if you're seeing someone different every time and if they don't spend the time to get to know the history of your skin. So I would say if your skin is in fundamentally good shape and you want a quick treatment and you are fairly experienced and you know what you want, you know what to ask for, then I think these facial bars could be a good thing and they could be safe. But if you have skin issues such as rosacea, eczema, inflamed acne breakouts, certainly if you have a history of sensitivity to skincare products, I think it could potentially irritate your skin, cause allergic reactions. I think it's safer to establish a relationship with a facialist who's going to get to know you and who can go more slowly and try different treatments and products so that they don't cause more harm than good.
So do you see this as a national trend that really will take on?
I think that, at least in Los Angeles, from what I've seen, I have seen several establishments calling themselves bars. And when I go to visit them or check out the website or talk to patients who've been to them, I think they're latching on to the idea of a blow-dry bar. And I think they're presenting themselves as a bar, but in fact, some of these are not really bars. They provide traditional facial services, which are tailored to each individual, and that's a good thing, regardless of what they choose to call themselves. So I think the name is trendy. I think the name will take off because they're riding the wave of the blow-dry bar popularity, but I think it's much harder to implement an actual facial bar.
Interesting, because when I'm thinking about it, this is all playing to time-starved people, right? So the dry bar thing, there's not enough time to get home and really do your hair well, you know, as you're getting off work and you're running off to, you know, an event, or if you're taking time in the morning or whenever during the day as a woman and exercising, and of course your hair looks like hell, and, you know, you've taken a shower and everything, and now you got a wet head. Now what are you going to do? Or you have a dirty head, as it were. So what's going to happen? Well, I can see the hair thing. I mean, you know, what's the worst that can really happen, you know, with the shampoo and conditioner and all the rest of it. But with the facial, you know, I just see this as going a little medical almost, if you know what I mean. This is a little more serious than if someone, you know, gets your curls wrong. You know, you can develop those allergic reactions and sensitivities, and sometimes you may not even know you had them. You don't know about the products that are being used because perhaps you've never had them used on you before, so there's big question marks there. At the same time, if you want to get a quick refresher, you know, so many places, very big places like the Red Door, you know, with Elizabeth Ard and the rest of them, have these mini facials that you can kind of blast in and blast out with that really don't do, obviously, peels. They're not, you know, going to be sitting there all day with super extractions and stuff, but they kind of refresh you. You know, so I can kind of see the refresh thing a little bit. So I guess time will tell on this trend. Obviously, it'll be a New York LA play for a while, and we'll see whether or not anything really takes on. Personally, like you, I can see that, you know, it's got probably some place, especially for people who don't really have any major problems with their face and just want to get a little bit of that glow and refresh. But I personally would prefer to be with someone who knows me. When I see my facialist, she's building on something. She actually can look at my face and say, wow, since last I saw you, you really have been doing well with XYZ. And it's good to get a little feedback. And, you know, I guess it's good to be known. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's absolutely good to be known. And it takes time to get to know someone. And it could go, the safety issue is a big one, because I always tell my patients, health and safety first before beauty. even though I'm in the beauty business. And there are issues of cleanliness. If they're going through a high volume of clients, are they able to keep everything clean and sterilized as they should? And then also asking about your personal history. Taking the time to ask whether a client has had infections or cold sores, herpes simplex breakouts, for example, are known to flare up sometimes with certain facial treatments. So if someone is just a newly graduated individual from esthetician school, are they going to be as knowledgeable about avoiding certain treatments if you have a history of cold sores? So sort of worry about that. And going back to the analogy about blow dry bars, I have patronized because I have a mild obsession with my hair. So I've patronized several blow-dry bars, and I always go back to my traditional stylist because it's very hit or miss. And from what I've seen, I have very tough, wiry hair. I don't have long, straight, smooth Lucy Liu hair. I have very tough, wiry, hard-to-manage, thick hair, and it's hard to blow-dry my hair, and I have had very poor success. And I think, like with the blow dry bars, if you have hair that just needs to be ironed straight or blow dried straight, perfect. I think they can do a great job. Hard to mess that up. But if you need any kind of style, if your hair is stubborn or unruly in any way, it's very hit or miss. I've had quite the disaster.
Very interesting. So really, at the end of the day, approach these facial bars, the quickie bars, with eyes wide open and with some caution. And if you really do have skin issues, it may not be a great idea to use them, and just stick with your, more highly credentialed and well-known facialist. And in the best of all worlds, you've got a situation like Dr. Jessica Wu has with her office in Los Angeles. And that is, you have a top-level dermatologist, with excellent facialists who work with her, and you really have great certainty and security knowing you're getting optimal care. So that's the best way to go, and that's kind of where I go too. So I just love that. Everyone, we've been talking with our go-to dermatologist, Dr. Jessica Wu. The name of her book, it's an absolute must, is Feed Your Face, Younger, Smoother Skin, and a Beautiful Body in 28 Delicious Days. Her website is Dr. Jessica Wu, that's WU.com, and check out her products. I am telling you right now, as just, a personal testimonial, hallelujah, I'm saying this stuff is so good and so excellent, and even my own dermatologist and facialist have noticed the difference since I've been using your products, Jessica. So A+ to you, and once again, thank you for being on the Her Podcast.
My pleasure, Pam.
All right. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please rate and review this podcast, because I read these things and I love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.